to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the Political Cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. James Edwards here with you. It's Saturday evening, July 25th. We have more to talk about than we can ever get to this evening. I'm here to tell you that. We had a great, enthralling, engrossing first hour with Don Wassel and Keith Alexander. They have moved on now, and I bring in Bill Rowland to the studio. Bill, how you doing tonight?
Be on this show is not only a pleasure, it's a white privilege. So I count myself very fortunate.
Can y'all pipe Bill's volume up in my ear?
Any case, it's great to be on the air here tonight. And, of course, James, I've got to hand it to you.
I still need Bill's volume.
This blog, the Political Cesspool blog, is just outstanding, particularly the latest entry. Now, I don't know if people out there have checked the website today, have gone to the blog, but there is an article today that absolutely does a great job of proving once and for all that mainstream conservatism and the neocon political establishment is
Denny,
absolutely
Sarah.
As dead as a bag of rust.
Hello.
Hey, Denny.
Denny,
here
it is. Harry Alford, black conservative hero. And for all of you out there who are listening, once again, this is on the political.org blog, and it's a must-read, because what this is about is Harry Alford, the new black conservative hero. Now, who is Harry Alford, and what did he do? Well, you may remember a short time back, really just a few days ago, a week or so ago, Harry Alford was giving testimony before a Senate committee with Barbara Boxer running the show. And he is apparently the head of the National Black Chamber of Commerce. And the National Black Chamber of Commerce, of course, does what all Chamber of Commerces do, except specifically for blacks. In any case, in this particular instance, he contradicted or came back against Barbara Boxer over the proposed legislation having to do with the cap and trade bill. Well, what he said was, basically, and we won't go into the whole quote or anything, was that Barbara Boxer was playing the race card when she mentioned that a couple of other black groups had endorsed the cap-and-trade bill. And he came back and basically started shouting racism and that she was being condescending to him and so forth. Well, the response this got was to make the stupid mainstream, mainline Republican conservatives feel like that they had a new black knight on the scene. Someone, a black who was actually going to represent them and speak out on behalf of conservative causes.
He was going to be the next the next Colin Powell or the next J.C. Watts, who both coincidentally voted for Obama. Right, Bill?
Correct, exactly. Well, let's get on to this so-called Harry Alford. Well, in the first place, let's see first who is talking about him and who has, gotten all giddy and their goosebumps are just popping up out of their skin over him. First, of course, there are the usual conservative blogs at the American Thinker, and who says about him that Alford's video should be spread far and wide. That he is just a new hero because of what he's standing up to Barbara Boxer. And then, of course, he's been on Bill O'Reilly, of course, who put that big grin on his face and, you know, slaps him on the back basically on air and says, oh, you're the greatest thing since, I guess he thinks, Colin Powell. And then, of course, he was on Dennis Miller and some of these other shows. And, he's being touted as a conservative based on one confrontation with one liberal Democrat senator. And they've already declared and rubber-stamped him as a black conservative. But in fact, we'll go on and prove that he's far from anything like a black conservative. He's simply getting a lot of free publicity, which he's not going to turn down under any circumstance.
Well, I mean, this guy, I mean, it's sort of like a parrot does, Bill. Anything you say, anything you ask of it, it chirps the same thing. You ask this guy what he would like to eat at a restaurant, he's going to say you're a racist, and that's what he did to Barbara Boxer.
Right, exactly. It's the same old retort to every thing that blacks don't like. You're a racist, you know. You know, if they don't agree with you about the weather, you're a racist. So it's the same old complaint. It's the same old battle cry. And of course, this time it was just against Barbara Boxer. So that makes this Alford character automatically a hero on the right with the establishment right. Anyway, the establishment conservatives. But let's talk about Henry Alford for a minute. Who is he, Harry Alford, rather, who is he, and what does he really believe? Is he really the so-called, quote, astute and penetrating gentleman who stands for colorblind justice in America, who is now Dennis Miller's heroes, and whom others think belongs in public office, should be immediately elected to office? Now, James, haven't we seen this happen over and over and over again, that white conservatives are so weak and so desperate and so helpless, they will reach out to the first black who shows up wearing a coat and tie and declare that he is the new conservative hero of the right. Haven't we seen this with Colin Powell? And I don't know how many are on the list. J.C. Watt, the same thing over and over again. New black conservative hero, basically for doing little of nothing except not acting like an ordinary black liberal Democrat.
Well, Bill, over the course of the last 5 years that we've been on the air, over the course of the last 1,000 plus shows that we've broadcast, yeah, I mean, our library of archive is replete with examples of just such behavior, and never once has it panned out for the benefit of the Republican Party, yet they still are grasping for what you said last week, Bill, the unattainable.
Exactly, and their reach will never get that brass ring. They will never get it. But nevertheless, in desperation, it's because they're desperate and so weak and so emasculated that they can't stand up for themselves. So it's let's hustle together some blacks who can sandbag us in our positions so we can hide and we won't have to take the ground and we won't have to leave our people for the sake of our people. In any case, this is, you know, all through his career, Alford has been nothing but a race hustler, and he's been a race hustler in the same category and at the same level as Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson in Indianapolis, for instance. He basically threatened a white, what he called was a traditional white guy bureaucrat who was largely responsible for getting contracts for the school board and for the schools in Indianapolis. So what does Mr. Alford do? Does he go before this white, traditional white guy bureaucrat and say, how can we get in the bidding process here? How can we get black minority contractors involved in building the schools? No, this is what he said. This is what he said to Roger Black, who was the white bureaucrat. Mr. Black, I understand that there is a construction management contract coming up within the next month or so. One of these three contractors will be in place by the time Dr. Gilbert arrives, that is the school board chairman. If not, you will be fired shortly thereafter. This is not a threat, but a promise, trust me. That's how he negotiates contracts with Black. Walks in, puts a finger in the face, and says, here, let me tell you something, Whitey. We're going to get the work. And he's not talking about some of the contracts. He's talking about all the contracts going to black contracts.
Bill, and once again, we have to ask the obvious. Let's say Bill Rowland is a negotiator. You walk in and do the exact thing, same thing with the races reversed. What happens to you?
I get arrested. I get sent to prison for extortion or racketeering or some other crime the feds could come up with. As far as how you deal with contractors and public officials. That is, if I threaten a public official, what's going to happen to me? I'm going to end up like poor Dr. Tom Sell in Missouri, who was thrown in prison for 8 years without a trial simply because he refused to go along with the system and supposedly made threats. I'm going to go to prison. But, you know what's going to happen with Alford? He's going to get his way. But here's another example. So if this Alford is such a big, promising, barrel-chested conservative, as he is portrayed by Bill O'Reilly and Dennis Miller, then how do they explain this remark? This is what he had to say about Bill O'Reilly, and get this, Fox News, where he had just appeared on Bill O'Reilly's show. Quote, "The Obama run for the presidency has turned this Fox station into a bastion for hate, propaganda, and sick satire."
Bill, we got to put the reins on it right there. Man, you're getting fired up, and I'm getting fired up with you, but we got to go to a commercial break. We're going to be back. We're going to pick it up right there, I promise you, when the political cesspool returns on Liberty News Radio Network.
Don't go away. The political cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
Don't let me be misunderstood. Don't let me be misunderstood.
Please don't understand me, baby.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand me, baby.
Don't let me be
misunderstood. Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the program, everyone. James Edwards here, along with Bill Rowland, as we come to you live from AM 1380 WLRM Radio in Memphis, Tennessee, going out across the world via the Internet and, of course, our affiliate stations, courtesy of the Liberty News Radio Network. Every time I hear a Frankie Valli song, I think of some of the people we've had on this show, from movie stars to members of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame to folks like Don Wassel and people who are doing a great job that perhaps you haven't heard about before, but certainly you should have. And this is what this show is all about. We bring you the news you need to know that would be otherwise hushed up or distorted by the establishment press. And Bill Rowland is doing a fantastic job bringing a story to your attention this evening that was just blogged about. We just posted this to our website not 10 minutes before we went on air this evening. You can read about it for yourself at thepoliticalcesspool.org. And Bill, as I said a moment ago, we had so much we had intended to cover this evening with you. A lot of it got pushed aside when this story came to our attention about an hour or so ago. Continue on where you left off, the new conservative hero.
Well, let me just make up one quick thing and say, be sure and stay with us after the next break at the half hour, because we have Billy the Heretic, a popular cartoonist on the Internet and a really interesting guy, coming up. But let me finish where I left off last, was talking about how Bill O'Reilly and Dennis Miller and some of the other big shots at big shot conservatives, so-called, at Fox News were embracing this Harry Alford character, this black the black Chamber of Commerce, who, you know, had all he had done basically was have a standoff with Barbara Boxer. And again, once again, where there the accusations of racism fly. But this has made him a big hero with big Bill O'Reilly and some of the other numbskulls over at Fox News. Now, to cut to the chase here, remember, he's just appeared on the Bill O'Reilly show and gotten some free publicity, and he's just appeared on Dennis Miller and gotten some free publicity. But this is what he has to say about Fox News. Quote, "I gave up watching Fox News not long ago. I just could no longer stomach the mess that was being presented before me. No African-American or any human being with racial tolerance can watch this program on a consistent basis. Bad taste is swanning, but racial animus," pulled out the big ninth grade word there, "becomes something more sinister. It is time for us to start officially complaining to the Federal Communications Commission about the annex this channel is perpetrating." That is, he has called in the past for blacks and others to seek the removal of the Fox News network from the air. But they don't, they have absolutely no hesitation to bring this Harry Alford, character, this Harry Alford, you know, rabble rouser onto Fox News after he spit in their faces, essentially. And, you know, he goes, Alford, there's one article after another. Alford has been running this racial extortion racket in Philadelphia and Indianapolis, anywhere that, minority contractors might be bullied into positions of getting contracts from the government. Alford's been there. He's been in the big cities to make sure he was twisting arms and breaking thumbs to get what he wants from the cities and government, local governments in different parts of the country. And so again, it's just one racial shakedown after another. And yet, you know, so so where does he agree with the conservatives on anything? And, you know, as I probe through, as we go through this article, which once again is on the political blog, you cannot find one thing to hold on to that legitimately classifies him as a conservative. And he goes on against, what's the big favorite topic of the neocons and the Fox guys? Well, the war in Iraq, the war on terrorism. So what does Hunter have to say about this? Quote, U.S. agents and their contractors have tortured, kidnapped, and violated the rights of human beings in violation of the Geneva Conference. We are not the old Soviet Union, and the courts must be utilized to correct these transgressions. And on and on and on. You know, he's calling us war, the American soldiers over there, and it's just one thing after the other. But here's the most important thing. Now, how many true conservatives out there supported Barack Obama for president? Well, Harry Alford was one of them. And here's the quote. I truly believe that God, the Almighty, has sent Barack to us. The timing is right as the world is in turmoil, a turmoil that will not be solved by war, but by reasoning, leadership, and example. And the whole world is anxiously waiting. We have economic issues that affect every village, town, city, nation throughout the globe. You know, the usual, what you expect from the black church, exaggerations and grandstanding. And our energy future is one big question mark. Now, and it goes on about this praise and worship of Barack Obama. And this is to say that the prison system is full of blacks, that 80% of those who are currently incarcerated should not be there, that they're obviously innocent and just victims of a racist judicial system. But here's one that really, I think, could rub all conservatives the wrong way. One, he apparently is a big supporter of Sotomayor for the Supreme Court.
Uh-oh.
Thinks that she's the best available candidacy. And here's what he said. Equally hideous are the claim by some pundits with racist reputation that she is a racist because of her pride and her heritage. No colorblindness there. It's pretty obvious that appreciation and love of one's color and race matter when you're white. But, you know, and then it's the double talk just goes on and on. She is going to be great, and that will heighten the judgment of President Barack Obama, the one who nominated her. Oh, yes, isn't he another gifted child of God who got his chance through the affirmative action provided by the Civil Rights Act? So there's affirmative action thrown into the butter churn. And, you know, he goes on and, oh, what a great guy Reverend Wright was. Thinks he's just the on the right hand of God as well. And so forth and so on. And I don't know how much he was in support of the demonstrations in Jenna, Louisiana for what he calls Jenna martyrs, even though all of them are still alive and most of them are headed for prison at some point. You know, nevertheless, it's all about this expression and militant affirmation of race on the part of a black race hustler. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Bill, you're at the top of your game tonight. You're at the top of your game tonight, buddy, when it comes to really laying out the facts of this story. This is the guy, after all of that evidence that Bill just presented, evidence of his own actions and his own thoughts, this is the guy that they're still trying to pass off as a conservative. And you know what? I guarantee you, Bill, that he'll be the next guest speaker at Bellevue Baptist Church, this guy, because they'll eat it up and they'll believe it.
Sure.
If it was on Fox News, it's got to be true.
Well, here's what he says about affirmative action, just to top it off. Just to, you know, once again, the big conservative hero, as Dennis Miller calls him, and as, you know, Bonehead, Bill O'Reilly calls him. When it comes to affirmative action, my brothers and sisters, there should be no more forgiveness and tolerance when it comes to the Civil Rights Act. Affirmative action is the driver of the Civil Rights Act, and to do away with that would stop the effectiveness of this great act and product of our civil rights struggle. We don't tolerate the Klan and shouldn't tolerate opponents of affirmative action.
And of course, what affirmative action is, as we all know, let's be frank here, let's be candid, as we always are in the political cesspool, it means if you're black, even if you're less qualified, you get to the head of the line because, well, that's what it dictates. It dictates that you must have an equal number or a certain number of non-whites in any given position, regardless of their skills or qualifications. That's what affirmative action is. It's anti-white exactly. discrimination.
But he considers opponents of affirmative action to be one and the same with the Ku Klux Klan. Now, this is how the narrow mind of a black militant works. They cannot see beyond even the narrowest, most simple-minded view of race.
All right, Bill, sit tight. We got to go to break. Bill has been commentating on the story we just blogged. It's the top news story at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Check it out, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. We gotta get out of this
place. If it's the last thing we Welcome back to the show, everyone. James Edwards here. I'm your host, along with Bill Rowland, who is flying with me this evening. We have our next guest on the line. We're going to get to him in just 1 minute. We already heard from Don Wassel this evening. For the last, for the better part of the last half hour, Bill Rowland has been delivering a fiery commentary based upon a blog entry that has recently been posted at the very top of our website. It's breaking news. Check it out at thepoliticalcesspool.org. There's much more to that story. I think it's the longest blog entry we've ever posted. I mean, as you can tell from Bill's commentary, we're really hyped up and fired up about this one. Bill, before we get to our guest, there were a couple of other things that I wanted to talk to you about during this hour. We're obviously not going to have the time to get to them in depth, but they both kind of coincide with one another. So I'm going to just lay it out there. Folks can read more about it because we did blog about them as well. They do tie in together, and maybe a quick one or two sentence reply, Bill, it will suffice, and then we'll go on to Billy the Heretic, who is standing in the wings. A couple of things I wanted to talk to you about was that the SPLC, Southern Poverty Law Center, has targeted Lou Dobbs once again. They're mad at Lou Dobbs this time because he has had the audacity to bring to light on the national airwaves of CNN the Obama birth certificate scandal. He is actually asking the question, is he or is he not a legitimately born United States citizen, which I think is a great question because it's one that hasn't been answered. Anyway, the SPLC lobbies to CNN. CNN gives Dobbs a not-too-subtle mandate. Don't talk about this anymore. Meanwhile, our good friend Roland Martin is also on CNN. Now, if anyone has forgotten who Roland Martin is, he was my counterpart on the Paula Zahn show a couple of times when I was on. And believe it or not, Bill, I still get emails about that. You can watch the video at our website. I got an email just this week saying, I saw you on CNN. I was thinking I hadn't been on there in 2 years. But anyway, Roland Martin, to coincide with the Lou Dobbs story, went on CNN as well. And he said that people who questioned Obama's birth certificate and legitimate birth as a United States citizen is the same as a Holocaust denier. So it all comes full circle, Bill, at CNN and the SPLC.
Well, of course, as usual, the reason the SPLC and the other anti-white militants are denouncing Dobbs is because he's right and he's on to something and he knows it. And if Dobbs, you know, it is a Holocaust denial, isn't it? Why don't we just look at the evidence? What I say. Let's just look at the evidence and let the evidence decide.
Well, apparently, if you're going to get the evidence, you're not going to be getting it on the Lou Dobbs show anymore. And if that's a story that has piqued your interest, go read more about it at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Okay, Bill, got to move on. Billy the Heretic is on the line right now. We're really excited about it. Bill, why don't you introduce our next guest and let everyone know exactly why we're so excited about it?
Well, we're excited about Billy the Heretic because he is a rising, ever more popular cartoonist who is mainly right now publishing his cartoon over the Internet. But he is, in fact, white, Christian, and is currently living in Detroit, as he describes it, Detroit, Africa. He's a business administration undergrad and has a degree in computer science and describes himself as a white nationalist libertarian involved in the Ron Paul movement, so forth and so on. But his current project is that he is the creator and writer of Billy the Heretic, a comic strip which lampoons liberalism and the anti-white bias in the liberal community through the antics of a Jewish family. Mike Judge who is the creator, by the way, of both Beavis and Butthead and King of the Hill, which is on Fox, recently came up with the exact same idea with The Good Family, which just premiered on Fox, I think, this year. Billy, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks a lot, Bill. Great to be here.
Always good to have a fellow heretic.
Right.
Of course.
Yeah, you, I hope you're wearing your black robe with the hood that covers your face, as we are. But, you know, it's a fascinating, your story is a fascinating one, because obviously, from what I can read about your vitals here, you have traveled all over Asia, that at one time you were part of the Free Tibet and Free Palestine cause, and at one time you actually met the Dalai Lama.
Yeah, that's actually true. Nationalism has always been a big thing for me. In the past, when I was, you know, younger and, you know, maybe a little bit naive, I espoused the nationalistic causes for other peoples while I was living overseas. And, you know, over time, I just, you know, I started having epiphanies, you know, like what about my people? What about my people's nationalistic aspirations? So it kind of got funneled into that. I mean, obviously, Free Tibet, Free Palestine, I do believe, you know, Tibetans should be free from Chinese occupation. Palestinians should be free from Israeli occupation. And also white people should also be free from any kind of occupation of our lands as well.
Free the Confederates.
Yeah, free the South, exactly. Well, when did you start your comic strip and why?
Well, I got to say, first of all, the comic strip was started much earlier than the Mike Judge TV animated series. It was started a year ago in August. The website went up right around then. I felt I had amassed a large growing base of knowledge about the double standards facing our people. And I wanted to communicate it in a different way. I mean, so much of white nationalism is about lots of research, very heavy academic research. I mean, it's great, but I felt, okay, maybe I can take a different approach to this to capture a different audience. So I came up with the idea of putting our white nationalist ideas in sort of a funny light, almost like an inverse All in the Family, where you have, instead of an Archie Bunker, a racist white person, you have a person who is a diehard liberal. He embraces multiculturalism and diversity. And instead of a meathead, you would have a white person who is a conservative, who is a person that believes that his own race is more important than giving away his country to all these foreigners that want to come and take advantage of that.
Well, now, what was your inspiration? I mean, where did you get your background information, and how did you amass a body of knowledge about, you know, particularly Jews and their liberalism and their social beliefs and so forth?
Well, when you move in liberal circles and you travel around and just, you know, my background, I came across quite a few people in the Jewish community. I bumped into so many different Jews overseas. I dated a woman. I was engaged to a woman who actually was a Gentile, but was raised in Hebrew schools from grade one onward. I'm not married to her now, thankfully. My current wife, actually, when I met her, she didn't really know anything about Jewish people, and I encouraged her to get a job working as a nanny for a family, and they turned out to be wealthy Jews. So every night there was another kind of story or some kind of humorous, you know, thing that she told me. And you know, at some point I started thinking, hey, I gotta write this stuff down. This stuff is too good to be true. And actually the father and the mother in the comic strip, Adam Rothstein and his wife, are actually those two wealthy Jews that my wife was a nanny for. They're the inspiration for those people. So they're actually based on real characters.
And so the basic idea of the comic strip is lampooning liberalism in the Jewish community through the eyes of Billy the Heretic, who, as I understand, he's adopted into the family.
Yes, he is. See, the parents, they embraced multiculturalism and tolerance so much, they wanted to adopt a child, and they tried to adopt a child from Africa. But there was a mix-up at the adoption agency, and this is exactly like Mike Judge's storyline. He's got that written in as well. And they get a white child. It's a complete accident. It's kind of a mix-up, and he's almost an embarrassment to them. But what and this is Billy the Heretic. Billy the Heretic is adopted into their family, and he acts as a foil to all their liberal antics. So he'll poke fun at them, and he's got almost all of the rebuttals and the funny comments.
I tell you, Bill, I'm encouraged to see another heretic so well-spoken and articulate. We're going to completely redefine the term if we don't watch out.
Well, yeah, I think there's more and more people that are just waking up. I mean, the number of people that are waking up, there's got to be a lot of people out there that need to find themselves. And everyone is good at something. You know, some people are good at doing comics. Some people are good at writing. And I have to also give credit to the person. I'm just the author and the creator of the comic series. I actually have there's a graphic artist in Ireland that does, I think he's done the drawings exclusively. So that's his skill. That's his strength. He's a fantastic graphic artist. So he's got the credit too. So I'm speaking for him as well. We have someone that does the website who's very talented in that area.
Hey. Billy, hold your thought right there. We're with Billy the Heretic, everyone, here on the Political Cesspool Radio program. We got to go to commercial break, but we're going to pick it back up right after these words from our sponsors. We're going to let you know more about this cartoon strip, how you can view it, how you can read it, all that and more right after this.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We got to get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do.
Welcome back. To get on the Political Cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show. A lot of ground has been covered this evening, still a lot of ground left to be covered. Eddie the Bombadil Miller is going to be with us during the third hour. We have got a lot to talk about, let me tell you, including a sex scandal here in our very own hometown of Memphis, Tennessee. And it comes from a guy that we have had, familiarity with, let's just put it that way. Continuing on now for this segment, Bill Rowland is co-hosting with me along with Billy the Heretic. No relation to Bill, although, Bill, that would be a good nickname for you. Billy, we bring up something on this show seemingly every week. It's one of the most classic and obvious double standards that exist out there, and I'm wondering if this is an issue that is addressed in your cartoon or if this was something that perhaps served as a motivation for you to draw it, and that is the fact that every race, every ethnicity is not only allowed but encouraged to celebrate their cultural heritage, heroes, traditions, etc., except for, European Americans, Europeans, whites. Is that something that you're cognizant of in this comic?
I deal quite a lot about the Mexican invasion. One of the ways I would get that through would be I would show that Adam Rothstein, he's writing a check to one of these La Raza or one of these groups, and he would say, you know, we have to support these groups in their fight for national, you know, freedom or whatever. And then Billy says, you know, well, what about a white homeland for white people? And, you know, Adam would say, you know, well, that's something that Hitler would espouse. And Billy says, well, you know, if Hitler said it, it must be bad. So then he goes into the bathroom and he sees his mother brushing her teeth, and he says, "Hey, Mom, you know Hitler brushed his teeth, you know." And his wife is his mother is like a Jewish woman, right? So she's kind of spitting out the toothpaste all over the place. So yeah, there's so many different angles into humor, because double standards are funny if you put them in the right light.
But nothing enrages a liberal more than pointing out the obvious. And Bill, we know that all too well.
Absolutely. Well, now, Billy, it's unusual, really, on the right, particularly with race-conscious white, to use humor as a vehicle for carrying our message. And it's really, you know, we don't see it that often. There are a few, I guess, white comics or white comedians who are also race-conscious. But, I mean, how, what's, you know, for instance, what has your response been on, comic strip and the audience, where to get, how many people have bought T-shirts, that kind of thing.
Well, the response has been really, really, really good from both sides. I mean, I get a lot of fan mail, but one of the things I'm most proud of is the amount of hate mail that I get.
I know, yeah, God knows. We're with you.
I know I'm doing a good job, and the comic is good if I get hate mail. If the hate mail drops off, I'm like, well, what's going on, Are they not as good as they were last week? So, yeah, but there's also a lot of people that are very positive. Some people, it's hard to tell. I don't offer T-shirts. A lot of people have asked for T-shirts. I probably should get around to doing that, but the focus is, the comic, and also, I have a family and a job and that kind of thing. But I think at some point we'd like to start moving into having an actual comic itself and T-shirts as well. There is a website, BillyTheHeretic.com. You can see most of the comics that are on that I've written and that my friend from Ireland has written. I'm sorry, I can't mention his name on the air due to laws in Ireland. But yeah, so I would like to have T-shirts at some point. But, we're getting, probably a lot more hate mail after I get off the air with you guys.
Yeah, we tend to have that effect on people.
We try to encourage that, Billy. Now, you say that Mike Judge, I guess we'll say, lifted your idea for his show, The Good Family. Do you think Mike Judge might share some of your political views as well? Do you get the impression that he's really causing, using you for brain drain here?
My guess is that, somebody bird-dogged an idea for him and got the idea. Maybe somebody in the SPLC, saw the comic and he had a connection with Hollywood and this agent, or this person in Hollywood just gave the idea to Mike Judge and he went ahead and did it. I really doubt he's a white nationalist. But you never know. I mean, who knows? He does have some pretty neutral humor. He makes fun of both sides. But it's hard to say. But I mean, I think more humor is probably better. We need to start doing things that are more humorous in the movement. If you look at, if you reverse engineer the enemy propaganda strategy, I mean, oh my God! I mean, the anti-white comedies that are out there that are funny, just unbelievable. People are laughing themselves all their way, to genocide. I mean, we're laughing at ourselves for being boring. We're laughing at ourselves for being uncoordinated and racist and stupid. I mean, All in the Family. I can't think about that show enough. It was the perfect enemy strategy. It's so funny. It's so interesting. Yet it's so anti everything we are. Yet people watch it every night. If we could do the same thing, if we could get our own show out there, if Chris Boddicker could do something like that, the guy that did the Conversation About Race show, we could use humor as a weapon, just like our enemies have done to us.
Bill, we're starting to connect the media here. We've got radio. We've got now cartoons and comics. We've got film with Craig Boddicker and Merlin Miller. And, I mean, now we just need to get distributed, right?
And we've got radio. And that's all we need is our own TV station, Nationalist Broadcasting, and we're in business. We've got the enemy on the run. But let me ask you something, Billy. What exactly are your views on race? When you talk to white nationalists, sometimes you get different answers, even though they may be on the same path. They're not exactly always at the same key. But where are you on the race issue?
Well, I mean, I put my race first, just like I put my, maybe that means I'm a racist. I don't know. If I am, that means I'm a familyist, because I put my family first. But I believe all races have a right, to exist in their own respective homelands, including white people. I mean, the Chinese should not have China occupied by foreigners. We shouldn't be trying to push Eskimos into Africa in great numbers. In the same way, we shouldn't be allowing huge numbers of third world non-Europeans into the USA or England or Ireland or Russia.
Well, Bill, that's just about as honest as you can answer that question, and I don't see how anyone could argue with that. But once again, the hypocrisy comes into play. That's well and fine, in fact, laudable for everyone else except one certain group, and we all know who that is.
Well, and then Billy's never met Harry Alford or the head of the SPLC. But one more question, Billy, that is one more from me, because I think we were probably about up time. if you were the president of the United States, how would you protect the racial integrity of the U.S.?
Well, I'd say that, well, one idea that I've had, and I think it's a great idea for Obama if he'd listen to me, I think outsourcing prisons to Africa would be a great place to start.
You know, I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. In fact, I even came up with an idea that addressed that very problem, and not only a reasonable one, but one that would be cost effective as well. And I think you're exactly right. I think you're right on the right path. It's sort of a way of recolonizing the blacks and other non-whites in this country who will never assimilate. And we're on the right, we're on the same train of thought there, my friend. Any last thoughts about Billy the Heretic, where you want to take the comic, and give out your website one more time?
Yeah, well, it's BillyTheHeretic.com. You can Google it or put it right into your browser. I just want to say thank you guys for having me on. Both you guys are big heroes of mine, both Bill and James. And I just wanted to encourage people to read the comic and spread it around, you know, link it to, send it to people. It's a great way to, it's a great way to wake other people up through comics that make fun of diversity and all these things. So that's, I guess, what I wanted to say.
Well, we'll be sure to link it up and blog about it. I tell you, Billy, after Bill had let me know that you were booked for this evening, I had very high expectations. And truly, sir, you've exceeded all of them. And I sincerely appreciate your compliment. I don't think we're heroes. We should be heroes to anyone. But we all work hard, and you do as well. We share scars. We're in the trenches together, and that band of brotherhood is stronger than steel cables, and we appreciate you for holding the line. Billy the Heretic, everyone, check him out at BillyTheHeretic.com. And, Billy, let's stay in touch and continue to work together.
Sounds like a great idea.
Thank you again, my friend. Billy the Heretic, everyone. Bill, we have less than a minute left, but my goodness, my friend, you have once again found another diamond in the rough.
Well, of course, we'll have Billy on again. This won't be his last appearance on the show. And the next time we have him on, he'll be telling us more about the comic strip, and maybe he'll have some T-shirts to sell, because certainly it is a very funny comic strip. I went through the archives the other day, and it really has a cutting, sharp, and very pointed wit, and great talent there. And so it does expose liberal hypocrisy very much the same way that a conversation about race exposes liberal hypocrisy.
Bill, we got to go to break. I know you're done for the night, but there's still an hour left, and Eddie Miller will be here with me for it. We'll be back right after this, everybody.
Believe it or not, there's a third hour of tonight's installment of the Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
They pull the ride.